We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Shoot the Shot, an NBA and Variety podcast. It is September 16th, 2021. Jonathan Osborne here. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, what's the weather like? You got a little hoodie on. What's the weather there in Florida?
I'm just dripping, dog. I'm literally dripping right now. It's like 85 degrees outside in Florida. I've got these lights on my PC running. It's like 85 degrees in this room at least. I just wanted to wear the Naruto hoodie. You know, I got it from Target. And, you know, it's very comfortable on the inside. It's like that nice fleece material, nice and soft against the skin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, how about you? How's Nebraska?
No, Nebraska's good, man. It's getting a little lower in temp. It's like 70 during the day. It's going to be low of like 50s and 45 next week a little bit.
That's beautiful.
Dude, I don't know if we talked about this on the show. I can't remember. But seasons, you don't have those really in Florida. Nope. And fall is my favorite season now with the weather changing, the trees changing. They get red and orange, and it's insane. It's a good time. You go to a nice, you know, they have like pumpkin patches here, but they're not like, you know, I feel like a lot of time in Florida, there's just like pumpkins all over the ground, and that's like called a pumpkin patch. But here right. They've got like corn mazes, and they've got...
So it's like a pumpkin festival. That's what we would call them here.
Essentially, yeah, but they're everywhere. Yeah. There's like two major ones here in Omaha.
That's awesome.
And they've got like open barn doors, like the doors are wide open, and they're serving pies and all this kind of stuff. Oh, dude, it's a fun time.
I want to ask you this, because we're going to talk about food later on, but
yeah.
You know, it's PSL season, as they say, you know, pumpkin spice lattes and all that jazz. What's your take on pumpkin?
I don't mind pumpkin. I like
it's good, trash.
I like. Whoa,
pumpkin is garbage. I don't like anything pumpkin, dude.
Pumpkin spice. I don't like the lattes because I'm not into the whole coffee scene, as you know.
Right.
Pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top. I'm there for it.
Maybe this year I'll give pumpkin pie another chance.
I'm not crazy about pumpkin. Like, I'm not about to be like, you know, you should love pumpkin till the day you die. I don't feel that strongly about pumpkin. There's a lot of foods that I'll say that to you about, but pumpkin,
right?
It's fine. It's a fall thing. You know, carve pumpkins. I don't know.
Thanksgiving is a long way away, but like, you've got one pie on the Thanksgiving like dinner table. What is it?
One pie on a Thanksgiving table.
You got one choice.
I think I am gonna go pumpkin pie.
What? So you're not a big pumpkin. So you're not a big pie guy then?
Not
that
really.
Must be the
key
case.
Lime pie.
Okay. That's not really a Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
I'm going apple, traditional apple all day.
I'll do apple 100%. With like ice cream on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And if it's
Forget
pumpkin, it's gotta have whipped cream on it. So, but like you said, I'm not a big pie guy. I outed all myself right. there, but yeah.
All right, Luke. Well, we do have some NBA news. We're going to jump right into that. So we'll kind of go through some of these items pretty quick, and then we'll spend some time on a few of the other ones. So the NBA has announced they are not mandating a vaccine for players this season. The NBPA, the National Basketball Players Association, has said that any COVID protocols this season, including a player vaccine mandate, would be a quote-unquote non-starter. However, the NBA is requiring referees, most team personnel, to be vaccinated this upcoming season. The Milwaukee Bucks have announced they are appointing Lisa Byington to be their play-by-play announcer, who is making her the first woman to be a full-time play-by-play announcer for a major men's professional team. So awesome for women, awesome for the Bucks. I hope she's going to do a great job there. I'm sure she will. And then, Luke, Shyam Charania reported the NBA Board of Governors will vote this month to approve the coach's challenge being the lone method to review out-of-bounds calls with under 2 minutes to go in games, which means that out-of-bounds plays will no longer be automatically triggered for officials for an official review. Do you care about this? Is you have a take on this or not so much?
Man, those coaches, I mean, logically speaking, you better not even let... I think the NBA shouldn't even let the coaches have their challenges then until the final 2 minutes.
Right.
Because... at this point, I mean, so there's one word in there that makes me wonder. The word is automatically. So it says, meaning out of bounds plays will no longer be automatically triggered for officials. Now, does this mean that maybe they can still decide amongst each other, or I don't know, you know, communicating with Secaucus, New Jersey about, you know, with the, essentially the reffing headquarters there, like, are they able to kind of talk about this like in game and be like, hey, we want to, like, even though it's not automatically triggered like they normally do it, like can they talk about it like and agree that they want to review it as officials, like, or are we only going to be subject to
say
them?
No, because of the wording says coach's challenge being the lone method to review out of bounds call, so I think that's a no-go,
right? So I think I mean, the older generation is going to be like, oh, good. They back in my day, they didn't have cameras and they couldn't review things and whatever. But I don't think I like it at all, especially if that is true. You know, like it seems to be that coaches are going to be, you know, their challenge that they use, they get one right. I think they have to implement, if the coach wins the challenge, they keep it. Yeah. Something like that, because,
or give them an extra challenge,
because if a coach, you know, near halftime or something like that wants to challenge something that could end up being pivotal or whatever, you know, he's not going to even want to use his challenge, and so I think that if they challenge and they win, they should keep it, and that's what they should do. But unfortunately, I think, you know, the first time around, at least till they learn, maybe, or maybe it goes well, I don't know, but I don't think I'm a fan of, you know, not those. I know that it, you know, makes the game more fast paced near the end of the game, there's not much stoppage, but I'm going to be pissed if I'm, you know, my team gets screwed by this because they use their challenge already. Even if like the rest, there's a couple of them, they're like, oh no, I think that maybe, you know, whatever, like they might not agree or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
So Shams also reported that the league is discussing having an in-season tournament in future seasons with $1 million per player prize money. Luke, the NBA is, it feels like they've been talking about this for years, implementing some type of mid-season or in-season tournament. What do you think of that? Obviously, now we've got the play-in tournament that will return this season. Are you interested in an in-season tournament? I think like it just all comes down to what the stakes are and how it's going to work, everything like that.
So a big part of this is the part where, you know, of the report saying that it could be, prize could be $1 million per player. I think it's all money, Jonathan. It's, you know, what, how can we get more eyes on the NBA? And that's all this is. I know that last year, and I'd be interested to see kind of what comes to fruition, but I think last year they had talked about, you know, if you win the theories were like, if you win the play-in tournament, you automatically are a lock to be in the playoffs in some capacity or something like that. I might be going crazy. Maybe I didn't hear that, but I'm pretty sure that I did. I at least heard it like be a theory.
For an in-season tournament, not the play-in tournament.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Right. For that. So, I mean, I don't know exactly where this in-season tournament fits. If you're not going to give huge incentive for the end of the year, because you're going to have fans that, you know, you're going to have teams that maybe they rest during it, you know, like maybe their bench players are trying to get them all riled up to play well and compete well in the tournament because they want their $1 million. But, you know, those guys that are already making 30, you know, 20 to $40 million in a year are going to be like, I mean, some of them might look at it as rest if it doesn't go towards the regular season record either. You know, like, hey, let's just sit out. Let's just, you know, we don't need to do anything here. We don't really care. We know we're going to make the playoffs. We're a better team. So I just think that there's going to be some weird strategy that goes on with these play-in tournament or with these in-season tournaments if that's the route they're going to go.
Yeah, I definitely think you have a point, you know, for the guys, you know, that are making $30, $40 million a year. What's an extra million to them? You know, that's really just going to be chump change. But I would say probably for like 75, 80% of each roster, you know, guys that are making $7 million, $8 million.
Right.
You tell them, you know, if they're on a good playoff team, they have an opportunity to win another $1 million if they win like an in-season tournament. I think that would be really dope. I think I do want to see some kind of incentive for like the lower tier teams in the league. Like if around the All-Star break or, you know, just before or right after the All-Star break, you know, those teams have an incentive like to perform really well and to, you know, potentially win some games. Like I'm all for that. So it'll be pretty cool to see what happens with that. Again, we've been hearing about this for years and years, and going back to, you know, the change with, you know, the reviews, a lot of times these things will like go through the G League for a season first and they'll kind of test it there to see how it goes before they implement that. So who knows?
So I've got an idea. This whole in season thing is off the rails anyway, like as it is, right? As a tournament. What if the incentive for like those worst teams is that you get 5 wins added to your regular season record and essentially replace the 5 losses? Like you're getting bumped up, but you're not locking them in for the postseason, but you're essentially giving them 5, like, or whatever you see fit and what logistically makes sense. I'm just kind of speaking. But what if they do something like that? I want, if they're going to be crazy and add this in season tournament, I need them to go all out. I need them to do stuff like that.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, I think if you were to implement something like that, you would have to switch to the model that some of the other sports have where like playoff standings go off of like how many points you have and you start awarding like points per wins, because then you're looking at a team that, you know, is like, I don't know, 45 and, you know, 47 or, and the like the number of games just gets mixed up, and then are they just going to go off of win percentage at that point?
Well,
like,
no, I'm saying they take off 5 whole losses and they just make them wins.
That's weird.
But
I don't know.
The whole thing is weird.
Yeah, it
is. The whole thing is weird. And if you're not going to give them, if you win the tournament and you don't make the post, like if you don't automatically get a bid in the postseason, if you win that end season tournament, I mean, if you're not going to go that route, I think you give them wins and replace their losses. And
I was thinking, you know, give them, you know, a few extra lottery balls, you know, in the draft lottery, something. So, I mean, like those teams, you know, Orlando, if they're sitting there and I'm Jeff Weltman, I'm saying, okay, these guys could either make the playoffs or like this year.
Yeah.
Now we didn't end up with, you know, Jalen Green or Cade Cunningham, still got Jalen Suggs. But if they're looking to add one more guy to that, I'm like, shoot, if we have a chance to win this, you know, tournament and end up with, you know, 5% better odds at getting the number one pick next year, then I don't know. That's a conversation to be had.
Right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs.
Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Luke. So Aaron Gordon has signed a four-year, $92 million contract extension with the Denver Nuggets. It was reported this week. You and I have watched more than our fair share of Aaron Gordon over the years being Orlando Magic fans. What did you think of the signing, or the extension signing, rather?
So a couple years ago, when it was time for AG to sign, he was a free agent, right? Like you had to re-sign. I was just hoping that it was going to be below $20 million, right? They signed him for whatever it was. It came out to be an average of like $19 million 1 year, $20 another year, right? I was ecstatic about that because at the time it was a young Aaron Gordon. It was a promising Aaron Gordon. It was, you know, it was a very young Aaron Gordon. And we thought that, you know, he was just one season away from developing offensively. And now he gets this extension. I mean, the numbers are insane. I don't know if you have the breakdown year by year and how that looks. And if you want to give your initial thoughts first, that's fine. They're locking in. They're committing to Aaron Gordon, and they're committing to a contract that I don't think is going to be tradable, and you're just going to be stuck with him.
Well, I think like the first thing that I thought was like, okay, you're committing big money to Aaron Gordon. So right now you've committed big money to Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon. You got Michael Porter Jr. for one more year, and then he's going to be a restricted free agent. So they will have his bird rights. You know, they'll be able to go above the salary cap. Mm-hmm. They're really not going to have, you know, much cap room moving forward. So like you are basically betting, you're going all in on a Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. big four to win you a championship. And although, you know, they may be talented enough to do it, like there are, I've heard of worse, you know, what is that, quartet, I guess you would say, of guys, you know, trying to win them a championship. But the thing with the Aaron Gordon signing, you know, basically, what was that, 3 summers ago now, is that we signed him to roughly like a four-year, $80 million deal the Magic did. And each year, the contract, you know, is like per year decreased year over year. With the Nuggets, and this isn't official, this is, an estimate from SpotTrack, but they're usually right on the money. It increases year over year. So after this season, when the extension kicks in, he's going to go up to $19.6 a year, then up to $21.2 million. In 2024-2025, it'll go up to $22.8 million. And then in 2025-2026, for a 30-year-old Aaron Gordon, you're going to be paying $24.4 million. And the reason that we were so optimistic about that Aaron Gordon contract at the time was that we thought he was going to be the next star. In Denver, he is quite clearly the fourth, maybe fifth option offensively. And like the hope that he's going to become this all-star level player for me has kind of come and gone. So I understand why they're doing this. They gave up Gary Harris. They gave up RJ Hampton. They're giving up a future first-round pick. You don't want to see that guy just come and go after a season and a half. But man, 4 year, $92 million. I feel like that's steep, Luke.
Yeah, I think it is steep. I'm sure. I mean, I guess this just shows how confident Denver is that he's their guy. When Jamal's healthy, he's going to make, you know, life so much easier defensively that this makes it all worth it. So I really don't know. At first glance here, Jonathan, I don't think so. I don't think that this is a great move. But if Denver is that confident that he makes the team that much better once they do have Jamal Murray healthy, then that, you know, they could do it, I guess.
So I'm going to pull up something just came to mind. I'm pulling up Joel Embiid. You know, he just signed a contract extension. I want to pull that up and see what that's going to be basically like year over year. I'll get these pop-ups out of my face here. So, yeah, so Joel Embiid is set in 2023-2024. He's going to be making $43 million, okay? In the summer just before 2023-2024, Nikola Jokic is set to be a restricted free agent, or actually an unrestricted free agent, excuse me. I will guarantee you that $43 million is where Nikola Jokic's contract is going to start. So if looking at the way that Denver has structured the contracts of like Jamal Murray and, you know, Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic, they've signed these up to where they're front loaded. So year after year, the amount of that contract is going up and up. So let's say, just being conservative, in 2024-2025, that contract goes up to, let's say, like $45 million. In that season, you're going to have Nikola Jokic making, let's say, $45 million in this estimate, Jamal Murray making $36 million, Aaron Gordon making $22 million, and then if they keep Michael Porter Jr., I guarantee you he will be making more than $22 million that year. They're going to be playing 4-on-5 every single night. With the way that salary cap is going to break down. Either that or the rest of the team is just going to be like a bunch of bums. Unless the salary cap just makes some huge spike over the next few years, they are putting all of their eggs in that Jokic, Murray, Gordon, Porter Jr. basket. It might be enough to get it done, but if not, they're going to have a rough go with the salary cap, heading into like 2024, 25, 25, 26. It might get a little dicey there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Have fun, Denver.
Thanks, Denver, for RJ Hampton. Not to make this about the Orlando Magic, but we do love RJ Hampton, and we hope he's going to be a great player. So, anyways, really, seriously, I hope that things go well for the Nuggets. I'll root for Aaron Gordon. I really like Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray and Jokic. If those guys end up winning a championship in the next few years, it wouldn't totally shock me, and I'd be pretty happy about that. So, Luke, let's talk about another Western Conference team, the Houston Rockets. So it's reported that the Houston Rockets and John Wall's team are working on a trade to move Wall to another team. Right now, the plan for him in Houston is to attend training camp, but that he won't be participating in any games, I don't think, preseason or the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it was understood as and reported as. So, I guess the first thing to do then is just take a look at kind of where John Wall can land. It's not really surprising to me. Houston is a young team. When I first look at kind of the destinations that John Wall could land in, I think of a team that, you know, could need it. That's a playoff team. That will need a playmaker and scorer, and I think that's the Los Angeles Clippers. I think without Kawhi Leonard, you could obviously John Wall's contract's not desirable, but if you're the Clippers, you know, you can trade, you know, Eric Bledsoe, Luke Kennard, and whatever else it takes to get that trade done. But the one that makes this most sense, because that one feels like you've got to, you know, makes filling some gaps, right? There's some filling salary and things like that. I think the one that you could do is, you know, where I could see John Wall ending up is, you know, a team that is trying to get rid of one of their players right now. It's a bigger name. And I think it's the Dallas Mavericks. John Wall getting traded to the Dallas Mavericks for a Kristaps Porzingis and then a filler. I think you could put in like Kleba or somebody there. You don't have to put in as many players to fill the salary. It's not as, you know, hard of a trade for me, honestly, to believe. At least at that point, you know, Houston can, Houston can have KP essentially be part of that rebuild. So I think that those are a couple destinations for John Wall. I don't think that this really came as a surprise to me. What do you think, Jonathan?
So actually the Clippers were the first team that came to mind, especially this season being without Kawhi Leonard. You know, him and Paul George, might be pretty similar to like the Paul George, Russell Westbrook combination that we saw in OKC a few years back. I hadn't really thought about Dallas, the other team that I thought. Houston might want to take a second chance on this and is trading for Ben Simmons. So they, you know, they didn't bite, you know, last year trying to trade James Harden. They ended up trading him to the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, Daryl Morey, you know, reported to be interested in trading for James Harden last year. Maybe he sees John Wall as a better fit next to Joel Embiid. I think the argument can be made, especially offensively. Now, does Philadelphia see John Wall as, you know, the same contract value or the same value as a player as Ben Simmons? I don't. So I wouldn't make that trade. But for John Wall, like, he really can't be too, you know, picky and choosy here. You know, this guy is making $44 million this year, $47 million last year, or the following year, excuse me. Last year averaged 20 points per game, almost 7 assists with the Houston Rockets. So still has something in the tank, but man, that contract, especially, you know, 2022-2023, is just a monster. So yeah, Clippers, Dallas, I don't think would be a terrible move. I would be a little bit, you know, concerned about the fit with Luka, but Luka is such a good player. I'm sure he would figure it out. And then, you know, potentially the Philadelphia 76ers, especially if, you know, Ben Simmons isn't going to come to training camp or play or, you know, anything like that. He's not even communicating with the 76ers. So we'll see what happens there. But again, you're a guy making $44 million. The following year is a player option, $47 million. You're not opting out of that.
I did want to add in. Yeah. So kind of looking, going down the rabbit hole of basically, you know, mock trades here for interacting between Dallas and Houston. One of them I found from basketballnews.com, he went on to say that the Mavericks in this trade would receive John Wall, he said Usman Garuba or Şengün, and future draft compensation, and then Houston would receive KP, Moses Brown, and Willie Cauley-Stein. So Moses Brown, I mean, another decent piece there as a young player.
No way I'm doing that if I'm Houston. I'm not giving up Şengün.
Yeah, if Houston is as high on Şengün as you are, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But yeah, no, I think that they definitely, you know, would say no to that. But I do think that Dallas is definitely going to be trying to deal KP to Houston in some a way to just try to get John Wall.
All right, Luke, we're going to take a quick Manscaped break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some college picks. Guys, autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for a cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to Manscaped for 20% off plus free shipping with the code 6th. That's S-I-X-T-H, manscaped.com.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. If you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code 6th at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code 6th. That's S-I-X-T-H at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you. All right, Luke, like we talked about last week, college football is back. The NFL season is back. I know you've been doing pretty well with your college picks. How did you do this week?
Yeah, so essentially last week, let's see here. I had Liberty minus 4.5 and then Buffalo plus 13.5 versus Nebraska. Liberty did exactly what I thought they would do, went on to win the game pretty big because of Malik Willis. I think he's one, I said it last week, I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NCAA. And then Buffalo decided to lay an egg against Nebraska, essentially went on to not cover the spread. In the third and fourth quarter, second half really got out of hand. Ugly game still. Nebraska, if I had to bet that again, Jonathan, let's just say I would make that bet all over again. I have no regrets about that bet at all. And so then that would put me, so let's see here. Last week I was just 1-1. Week before that I was 1-0-1. And then the week before that I was 2-0. So that's, you know, 4-1-1 in college. So not terrible. This week, though, a couple bets that I'm pretty excited about. Penn State is -5 against Auburn. And I'm going to take Penn State. And there's a couple different reasons here, Jonathan. Penn State has won and covered their last six games. I'm a big streak guy. I ride the streaks. If a team is covering against the spread, if they're winning games, I'm going to bet on them until they basically fizzle out. They have covered and won the last six games. Auburn has played no one so far. Auburn has played Alabama State and Akron. I don't think that they'll be ready for this game. They go into Death Valley, Penn State. They go into that game, and I just don't think they're going to be ready for it. Penn State has now, they played number 18, Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin was number 12 at the time, and won 16-10 at the start of the season, and then took care of some cupcake school last week. So I think Penn State can cover this -5. I think you could see them win this game by a touchdown or more. And then Marshall, I have them. They play ECU, the East Carolina University, the Pirates. Marshall -10, solely for the fact of Eastern Carolina is 9-19 against the spread in their last 28 away games. A lot of simulations that I've seen have Marshall winning by 16. Marshall is 2-0 against the spread this season. Again, like I said, I'm a big streak guy. Marshall has the defense, I think. They've only allowed 8.5 points per game this year. And I see no reason why they can't cover that Marshall -10.
So not that we're saying to just, take Luke at his word, but if you have so far, Luke's probably made you a little bit of money this year. He's gone 4-1-1, doing pretty well, made some money for himself.
It's true.
Obviously. So Luke, let's switch to something that obviously I'm a little bit more familiar with. Let's talk some NFL bets. So last week, I think I mentioned on the pod that I was taking Miami +3 at New England, Seattle -2.5 at Indianapolis, and then the Rams -7.5 at home versus the Bears. I don't want to brag. I did hit on each of those spreads. 3-0 on my single bets. Parlays, we don't have to get into. Didn't do that well this week. I never learned my lesson. How about you? How did you do last week?
Oh, terrible. Oh, terrible. Great. Oh, awful. I might have. I don't remember. I think I don't even know if I gave 2 or 3 picks last week. I was looking at my notes. I think I threw in some pick last week. But no, did pretty bad thanks to the Packers and the Chiefs. Chiefs decided not to turn it on till late. And the Packers decided, Aaron Rodgers said, I just don't really want to do this whole thing. The Packers fans, I saw a pretty funny meme that was like, Packers fans spent all that money to drive down to Jacksonville where they were playing in a neutral location all to see their favorite team kick a field goal.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's rough.
So, so I know for a fact I swung and missed on those. And I think if there was another pick that I gave for NFL last week, also missed on that. So basically what we're saying here is you follow me my way for the college bets, and then when it comes to NFL, you can take Jonathan's word.
I don't know about that. I'm not comfortable saying that. But what do you have going on this week for the NFL? What do you like?
So speaking of, here we had the Saints, right? Jameis Winston had that, what did he have? LASIK, right? Something like that done like an offseason or two ago. So the game I'm going to is Panthers versus Saints. And I think I find myself going Panthers +3.5. Saints didn't have Michael Thomas last week. They won't have Marshawn Lattimore or Marcus Davenport this week. Also, 5 assistants of theirs are out due to COVID. And last week, the Panthers 6 sacks versus the Jets week 1. Their defense is looking better. I think I read something crazy like it took six games to get 4 sacks or something, 5 sacks last year. And then they had 6 sacks week 1. So I'm all in on Panthers +3.5 versus the Saints. What about you, Jonathan?
So one of my favorite picks this week is going to be the Arizona Cardinals. So Vikings last week lost to the Cincinnati Bengals, who were terrible a year ago. Now, Joe Burrow is coming back. This is, you know, his second season. I think there's maybe a little bit overreaction to the Bengals because I think they are getting 2.5 versus the Bears. I feel like maybe the Bears are a little bit underrated. Maybe the Bengals are a little bit overrated. But in terms of the Vikings, I just think the Vikings are bad. I feel like Kirk Cousins has underperformed his contract. He has not lived up to his contract in Minnesota. And then Arizona looked amazing last week. They ruined my parlay with just destroying the Titans. I like the Cardinals so much, Luke, that I didn't even realize it, but I bet on them twice this week already. So on Monday when the Lions came out, Arizona was laying 4.5 at home to the Vikings. I bet that. And then today looking at it, I saw that they were laying 4 at home to the Vikings. So I took that again without even realizing that I placed that bet earlier in the week. And then after that, you know, I talked to you before we started recording, and I feel like, you know, when Vegas loses on rare occasions, they always kind of swing the odds the other way the next week to make it really tough for you to win money. So I placed a couple of, I threw some teams in some teasers this week. So one, it's a parlay. I've got Detroit basically teased them 6 points, so plus 17 against the Green Bay Packers. I feel like people are kind of overreacting to what they saw out of the Packers last week. I feel like you know, Aaron Rodgers is due to have a big game. So plus 17, it's pretty rare that you see those types of blowouts in the NFL. So hoping that Detroit's going to be able to cover that. And then the Dallas Cowboys, they did lose one of their, you know, best defensive players, DeMarcus Lawrence, what seems like for most of the season this week. But I've got them plus 9.5. So that was a 6-point teaser at the Los Angeles Chargers, who I think barely beat the Washington football team last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So, and then I tried to stay away from the Giants, but at the Washington football team, who they beat twice last year, lost last week in a tough one of the Denver Broncos, hoping they're going to bounce back. I try not to bet with my heart, but when it comes to the Giants, I can't help it. I'm optimistic. So I've got them T 6 points plus 9.5 at Washington. Then I've got the Washington, the New England Patriots, basically a money line bet. They're favored by 6 points against the Jets. So I basically got a money line bet on that. And then I took the Saints, teased them 6 points plus 2.5 at the Carolina Panthers. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm buying into the Jameis Winston hype just yet, but those are my my bets for this week, and hopefully, Luke, we can win some more money this week. What do you say?
Yeah, and I actually have one more, and it's not a spread, okay? It's okay. And it's essentially going to be an over-under play. I'm going to the Las Vegas at Pittsburgh game, and I think right now, let's see, what's it at? I think it's at the over-under set at 47. I'm going to go the under 47 on this game solely, you know, for a couple of reasons here, right? I mean, the Raiders, we all saw them play that just ridiculous game against the Ravens here
lost
recently.
Lost me money, by the way.
Did it?
Yeah. Yep. Mm. Yeah, I put who did I put in? I think I put the Rams and the Ravens in a teaser, and the Rams obviously covered for me and then some, but yeah, I had the Ravens at plus 2.
All I know, Jonathan, is that Derek Carr's heave in overtime for that
ridiculous
stupid touchdown.
I couldn't believe it.
And DraftKings brought me from winning essentially 20 times my entry fee to winning like half of my entry fee, like less than half. Like Derek Carr's touchdown destroyed me is what I'm telling you right now. Thank you for that, Derek Carr. Anyway. They face a much tougher defense this week in Pittsburgh. At Pittsburgh, I think the under 47 is a good spot for this game. I think you can bet the under and feel pretty good about it. I don't think that the Steelers are going to score more than, you know, 35 points, which I think is what has to happen for this game to hit the over. For me, I just think that Pittsburgh's defense is too good. They just shut down Josh Allen and the Bills in week one, went in, surprised them as being, I think, 6-point dog, 7-point dog, something like that.
Josh Allen looked rough, man.
And I think the Steelers did have a big, you know, hand in that. I think that the Steelers defense is just that good. My boy Ulysses Gilbert, from Ocala, shout out Ocala, Florida, blocked a punt, returned it for a touchdown. It kind of sealed the game there for them in that huge win. So, yeah, I think Vegas is coming off just such an emotional win that they've got in front of their crowd, really. Those fans for the first time. I don't see that this, you know, hits the over 47 at this point. And that way, you know, I am riding with the under 47 in this game.
Yo, pray for your boy. I'm pretty sure I'm hearing gunshots in my neighborhood right now.
Excuse me?
Hopefully we're going to be all right tonight. I'm going to have to go up in the safe and make sure that we're secure in this neighborhood tonight. So, yeah, you guys don't hear from me again. You know what happened. Anyways, last thing we're going to get into, Luke, we're going to switch it up. We're going to get into some food takes. We know that we love the food. Tonight, I'm at Winn-Dixie, a grocery store here in Florida. And I just happened to peek by the little Debbie's end cap, and I grabbed a few items. So I got a little idea for this podcast. I want to know, what is your top three, like, Little Debbie or, like, Little Debbie adjacent snacks? So we're including, like, Hostess, some of the Entenmann's, you know, some of the Tasty Cake brand stuff. So top three.
So for me, this list is very biased. It is what my friends kept at their house. It's what, you know, when my mom would let me, that's what we would, you know, keep at our house. I had to kind of, you know, beg my mom, can we please, like, please give me those.
You didn't just sneak them into the shopping cart and see what happens at the checkout?
Oh, I'm sure I did. Oh, I'm sure I did. So these are kind of the ones I grew up on. These were, you know, repeat favorites for me and my friends growing up. Zebra Cakes is on that list. I'm going Ding Dongs, which is
Zebra Cake. Is this in order?
Yeah, as of now. Yeah, okay. It is. Yep. Zebra Cakes, Ding Dongs, or as I think that Little Debbie calls them, chocolate cupcakes. Ding Dongs or chocolate cupcakes at two. And number three is Swiss Rolls for me.
Ooh, Swiss Rolls. Swiss Rolls are a good one. So for me, Little Debbie, the Zebra Cakes. Zebra Cakes, number one, first overall pick.
Glad you
have
that.
That's what I grabbed off the shelf when I was at Winn-Dixie. Next
up
for
me, those?
Not yet. That I don't like to eat sugar or consume sugar before the podcast. They say it makes your mucus all thick, and it's just not good when you're trying to speak at length. Okay. So, yeah, I'm going number one. I'm going going Zebra Cakes. Number two, I'm going with an oldie but a goodie, the good old Star Crunch. Have you ever had a Star Crunch? The nice, like, caramel, chocolatey, like, rice snack. Oh, my gosh. All over the Star Crunch. And then number three, I'm going with the Tasty Cake, the Butterscotch Crimpets. Have you ever had a Butterscotch Crimpet?
Dude, you're just speaking a different language right now, huh?
I'm very versatile. I do have some, like,
Did
honorable
mentions.
Did you
say mentions. Crimpets? Like, K-R-I-M-P-E-T?
Yes, absolutely. The little cake with the butterscotch frosting on the top. I'm a big butterscotch guy. It's one of my favorite flavors. If, like, a spot has, like, butterscotch, you know,
this,
ice cream,
this looks
or like
something
a milkshake,
my grandmother would that. Eat while
she
knitting.
She probably would. If in school, way back in the day, I'm going way back, and you guys may, this may be a little bit old for some of our listeners, but the book Maniac McGee. Did you ever read Maniac McGee when you were in, like, elementary school?
No.
So it was basically about this. I believe he was an orphan, if I'm not mistaken. And he gets taken in by this family, and they call him Maniac McGee because he's the fastest kid that you've ever seen in your life. Like, think of the fastest kid. This kid is faster than fast. And one of his favorite things to eat were butterscotch crimpets. So reading that book growing up, I'm like, man, I've got to taste these butterscotch crimpets. And yeah, one of my favorite. So honorable mention, I am going the Swiss cake roll. Swiss cake roll, always fire. The strawberry shortcake rolls. Have you ever had those? Also fire.
No, but I bet. Yeah.
And then I'm going the Entenmann's, the mini, like, chocolate frosted donuts. The original cake type donut, but then covered in the chocolate. Those all over those, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've, what was your second one? You listed, like,
Star
crimpets.
Crunch.
Okay.
Star Crunch, bro.
Star Crunch. I looked it up. They look like, you know, chocolate rice, you know, Rice Krispies, essentially.
Kinda. It's got, like, a little bit of caramel in that, I'm pretty sure. The next time you're in, you know, the Little Debbie's aisle at your, I don't know what kind of grocery stores you guys got up there in Nebraska, you know, Corn Express or whatever it's called.
Corn Express, okay.
But, yeah, do yourself a favor. Get a little Star Crunch action. See what's going on with that. Get yourself a nice, like, ice cold glass of milk if you're a milk guy.
Yeah.
And just enjoy a nice old Star Crunch. Be prepared. It's going to stick to the roof of your mouth. That's 100% happening. But it's worth it.
That's the only reason I don't eat white bread.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
The whole sticking to the top of my mouth thing. It's not like, this,
it doesn't like
feel
cake
like a dog and you
your
just
mouth.
Put peanut butter on a spoon and hand it to me.
Yeah, it doesn't cake the same way, but it's because like the caramel, like it's sticky. So try it. If you don't like it, you wasted $3.
Okay.
All right. You're not losing too much.
I'll send you the
invoice.
You'll
get that back this week betting on, you know, New Mexico State or whoever it is you got going on this week. You'll be fine. But Luca, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. What do you say?
Yeah, that's good. We ended it with a little snack talk. Love that.
Little snack talk. Hey, in the comments below, let us know your guys' favorite little Debbie snacks. We want to hear about it. So
I need
anyways, guys,
in order. 1 to 3.
In order. Yeah, your top three, whatever. Your honorable mention. If you want to list 50 of them, please, whatever. Whatever you guys want
to
do.
Tell this man to get his crimpets out of here.
Oh, that's disrespectful. Try those too. $4, whatever. You're making good money at Allstate or, you know, right. Whatever it is these days.
No, but it's Allstate. Guys,
Allstate. If you guys haven't heard the episode from Monday, you're not going to understand that, but that's okay. Go back and listen to it. But yeah, guys, for Shoot the Shot, this has been Jonathan and Luke. We'll catch you guys next Thursday. See ya.